Welcome to Keep the Hotel Empty. Today we've kept the hotel empty to welcome in the theme song king, an MC, a guiding force in the world of the music industry, and a podcast host himself, the one and only Montezy. Montezy, welcome, my friend.
Peace, King. How you doing, man?
Oh,
how's
man.
Everything, man?
Very good.
You look good, man. You look good.
Thank you, sir. It's been too many moons since I've seen you, but I'm very glad you're here.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for the invite. Thank you to my manager, Marcel, for making this connection happen, and I'm happy to be here, man. I love the look. I love what you're doing. I love the concept. You showed me around this wonderful studio, and I'm blessed to be here, man. Thank you.
Oh, dude, we're blessed to have you, and shout out Celis, of course.
Absolutely, man.
So let's kind of pick up some of this line at the what I see as the center of the Montezy nucleus, the pro wrestling world. Where does pro wrestling come into your life? Because it makes such a profound impact. It sets you off on so much. Where are you at when it comes in?
You know, the thing about it is it's – my perspective has kind of changed. Obviously, I just recently got my 10-year anniversary in it.
Right.
So my perspective has kind of changed when I was younger. When I was younger, I was such a fanatic of the game. And being, you know, watching my first wrestling pay-per-view, 5-6 years old, WrestleMania 8, 1992. That's how far
so
I go
So way
back.
Early.
Way early. So now that I've been involved in it, and been involved in it so long, it's opened up my perspective and my mind to seeing how the actual business works. And this funny thing is, it's no different from what we do. It's like I always tell all my people, we're all on the same boat in the entertainment business. It's just we're different parts of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Some people rowing the ship. Some people laying the anchors. You got captains on the ship. Some people, you know, holding the tide, holding the flags.
Right.
But we're all in the same boat, so the wrestling business has been a blessing to me because I've learned a lot. And you know how the entertainment business is. To be able to last this long in anything, you know, especially in the entertainment business where you're here today, gone tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and the wrestling business can have its ups and downs, and you know, social media in general, and in hip hop, to be able to last in both, I'm extremely blessed to still be here all this time. But wrestling is really part of my DNA and who I am. It's been my passion outside of hip hop since I was a kid.
Do you remember seeing the first pay-per-view? You remember that day?
Yes. Yes, I do. The funny thing is my mom and grandma used to get the pay-per-views. So back, for you youngins out there, we used to have a thing called a VCR. For you youngins that might not understand that, but we had a VCR and they used to order the pay-per-views and they used to record it on
right.
VHS. So every time they recorded it, I would have the tapes. So my very first tape that I had, my mom wrote on there, Antoine's Wrestling Tape 1992. So that was WrestleMania 8 with Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan versus Sid Justice, Psycho Sid. That had Shawn Michaels versus Tito Santana. So those
classics.
Those were, that was my first pay-per-view, Undertaker versus Jake the Snake. So though that pay-per-view was my first, introduction to wrestling. And it just passed through the years of her and my grandmother, my mom and my grandmother recording all these. And I have tapes. I still have them in my storage of all the tapes that they would order for me. And it was just funny because you're funny how your subconscious works and you don't know how these things are impacting your life because it's in your subconscious.
Right.
And then as I got older and I was still passionate about it, it was like, well, how am I going to do this? You know, how can I get myself involved in this? I don't have the physical gift to get slammed on my back. It's not my thing.
Right.
But how can I find other ways to contribute? And then musically, I found a way to contribute. Which I realized that I can really give into my passion of wrestling, but being able to make, maybe not a fist, not only a monetary thing with it, but to find my way to get involved with something that I've loved since I was a kid.
So where did the music come in then? Did the music come in as a byproduct of just an interest that you had that you could dovetail into the passion of wrestling, or did this develop on its own and then you married the two?
It's a little bit of both. It was a random idea. It was a random idea. One day I was with my son. My son was like 3 years old at the time. And randomly there was a thing called at the time the WWE Network where you can go to the WWE Network and you could just watch all the content. So one day I'm watching one of the pay-per-views before my son's coming over to have my time watching my son.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy named Roman Reigns is on my TV. And I'm like, I'm just going to write a song about this guy. I just popped in my head. I had no idea what I was doing. I don't know how I was going to do it. I didn't know what the game plan was. I didn't have no financial plan. I just said, I'm just going to write a song about this wrestler and just put it out.
And you had not done any music previous to that?
No, for no wrestler at all. February 28, 2014. That was when I dropped that song on social media. And that was viral before viral was viral now.
Everybody, yeah, I actually remember that.
And it went out there, and it took off like wildfire. His family started sharing it. Everybody started seeing it in the wrestling world. And I was like, huh, this is interesting.
So how did you do it? How did you track that one? How do you make that idea actually be a thing?
So I had this formula of, let me do my research on the wrestler. Let me do my research on the person. So I went to Wikipedia, and I just started seeing his history, his background, learning who he was. And I said, if I'm going to make this song about this wrestler, I want it to be exactly directly about him and make it as close as I can to him.
Okay.
And in recollection of him. Like, if he's a rapper, I want to be able to speak through him. And so I just wrote down the lyrics. I just wrote it down. I randomly picked a random beat off the internet. And you know how that goes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I bought the rights to the song. And I just recorded the record. I went, my grandmother, I didn't have the money at the time. My grandmother, who is my biggest inspiration, she gave me the money for studio time. She said, I'll give you the $40 just to go do it. Just go do it. And I randomly just did it. I put it out on streaming platforms. I didn't even know what BMI ASCAP was. I didn't know what none of that was at the time. I just put it out there. Well, now I do now, of course. But before, I just put it out there. And it just started going viral. I had no idea what I was doing. But I feel like spiritual energy was speaking through me on how to formulate this. And once I had success with that one record, I'm like, holy, huh, I can build on this. So I just sat back and thought of my own formula to how can I make an impact. But to give you a nugget, the thing that I did was many people just want to go to WWE. At the time, that was the only company out there.
Right.
They just want to go to WWE. I said, no, I'm going to do the groundwork. I'm going to start at the smallest wrestling promotions, and I'm going to start at the bottom to get to the top. So that's what I did. That was my strategy.
And no one suggested that to you. That was just an instinct move.
It was an instinct move. Me and my former manager at the time, Rich, one of my best friends, he said, hey, man, your idol, Bret Hart's going to be here in Maryland. You want to go, meet him and take some pictures? He said, you can stay at my house. I said, sure. So while I'm there, there's this guy that is the heavyweight champion at the time named Drolix. Mm-hmm. In Maryland Championship Wrestling, shout out to Dan McDevitt, shout out to Drolix. Them two introduced me to the wrestling business. They the ones that put me on.
Nice.
So I will always give shout outs to who put me in position.
Absolutely.
So I'm watching him at the main event, and he's coming out to a song by The Game and Rick Ross. So we're sitting front row, and he taps me. He says, you need to make a song for him. He's the heavyweight champion. At this time, I only have the Roman Reigns song. I didn't have anything else.
Were you thinking about making other things, or was this just kind of cool to be where you were at that moment?
It was cool to be where I was at the moment, but it wasn't really a game plan strategy yet.
Gotcha.
So what happened was I watching the match, and he's tapped me. He said, you need to make a song for him. Now, mind you, this is February 28, 2014, when I did the Roman Reigns song. This photograph session with Bret Hart when I went to the event was like late 2014, January 2015.
Gotcha.
So when I went to the show, he's like, you need to make a song for him. You need to do something for him. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I didn't think nothing of it. So then he speaks to Drolix directly, and he just says, hey, man, you need a custom theme song? What kind of stuff you like? So he said, what do you want to ask him? I said, what are some of your favorite musicians? What do you want me to say in a song? What are some of your finishing moves? What are some of the stuff you like? And then he gave me the information, and I randomly did it. So, and he's the heavyweight champion at the time. So 2015, he comes out, he has his own song. So word of mouth is still the best promotion in the world.
Right.
You can click on TikToks, you can do all that. That stuff's great. That's great. But if you tell me personally to check something out, I'm going to check it out because you told me to.
Right.
Word of mouth is still the best promotion out there. So word started getting out like wildfire around the independents, started in Maryland, and it just spread it. So then I started coming up with a game plan on how to do this. The game plan of saying, okay, let me start in Maryland and spread like wildfire. And it just over these 10 years, it's just spread it. Getting the bigger name wrestlers, bigger names, to the point now where I've made music for all the top guys in the world. But it started at the bottom. My strategy was to start at the bottom. Everybody just wants to shoot at the top. I said, no, I did the Roman Reigns record, but let me start at the groundwork.
Right.
Let me go where the people are paying their dues. So I burnt up CDs back in the day when people still listen to CDs. I burnt CDs. I was passing out CDs randomly to fans and wrestlers. Passing out CDs, burning. I put five songs. I made five songs for people in that company, MCW, where Drox was at.
Mm-hmm.
I made five songs for people in that company, and I just passed them out. And I put the Roman Reigns song on there. I started from the bottom.
Was one of the things at that time a transition from these performers using commercial music that they had to license versus commissioning their own? Was this transitioning at that time too?
Yes. At the time, yes. But I literally did it as a point of networking at first. So my strategy was, hey, you can have the song. You can use it. I'm going to put it on streaming platforms, and I'm going to do my thing as far as finding the end up getting monetary gain from it. But you have license to use it forever long as you want to use it. You know, and, you know, certain companies, they're not paying royalties and all like this. It's all gratuity for for a lot of the situations. So, you know, you can use the song as long as you want to use it, you know. And then I found my own fiscal game plan on how to make money from it, from like, you know, like basically they're buying it out. Here's my fee. You want the song? Here you go. But you can use it as long as you want to.
Right. And you had to build to that point, though.
Yes. I did songs for free for 3 years. 2014 to 2017, I did it for free. I didn't charge a dime for 3 years because I wanted to get the name out there. Then once my name got to a certain point, I started to charge. But I did it for 3 years, from 2015 to 2017, like 14 to 17, I didn't charge a dime. Because I realized that if I have a relationship with you, the money's going to come.
Right.
The money's going to come. But I'd rather have Bill Gates money in relationships. You know what I mean?
Right.
Instead of just trying to go for the dollar. And I think that, too, you got to read the room. You got to read the room. I can't come into a wrestling locker room and say, I'll demand this and I demand that. I'm a guest here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't just say I demand. And now when I get to my certain point, now I charge a certain fee. And even still now, I look out for people.
Right.
Because for me, I can charge this amount, but I still look out. The up-and-coming wrestlers now, TZ, can you do something for me? The up-and-coming guys just thought, yeah, I got you. I'm not gonna kill your pockets. You know, you take care of me, but I'm not going to, you know what I mean? I'll never forget where I come from, and I try to give back. So even from then to now, for 3 years, I didn't charge. So
having that period, you were developing some of those business mantras like, you'll come back for those that helped you. You were staying true to your beliefs and your way to do this right out of the gate as it was developing for you.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. You learned that, you know, your network was invaluable in that 3 years, and you knew you were making songs specifically for people doing the research. You weren't just phoning it in and making generic battle themes, as it were. What were some of the other things you learned in that 3 years where you were literally doing it for free, the bulk of doing it for free, versus when you start being able to say you can walk in the room and charge something?
The thing that I learned from that, great question. The thing that I learned from that is the value of not only reading the room, but not only relationships, but understanding the groundwork that has to come with it. There's a lot that comes with it. Now, mind you, we're both experienced musicians. 2014 was a big transition when everything started to switch.
Mm-hmm.
Everything started switching towards digital. Everything started switching to more just through the phone.
Right.
And CDs were starting to leave, and MP3s, everything was starting to go to Spotify and everything like that. So I had to transition and learn how to do this within the years that I was doing it during those 3 years. And learning, okay, what am I in this for? What is my learning lesson in this for? Am I trying to do this because I want to be the average wrestling fan that's just happy to see my heroes and do that? That left me quick.
Right.
You know, and I was like, okay, how can I make my impact and how can I do what I do but still make an impact? So those 3 years, I did a lot of studying. I did a lot of watching. I had access backstage. I had access to learn how the wrestling business works. Even today, I'm still respectful. I don't walk around like I own the place. I'm a musician. I'm privileged to be here. And I know my place. Like, if you come to a Montese show and you're a wrestler, you should know your place when you're at a Montese show and how things go in a court of order in respect. So when I'm in your locker room, I'm going to do the same thing in your locker room as if there's a Montese concert. You know what I mean?
Right,
certain
exactly.
Certain decorum and way that you present yourself. So those 3 years, I learned a lot. I did more studying and learning than worrying about fiscal gain or just trying to get a dollar or trying to for a clout or anything like that. I didn't want that. I wanted to learn. So I learned the wrestling business in and out on how I can impact it for myself. And I built a lot of relationships, a lot. I built a lot of equity with a lot of people because once people saw that it wasn't just for the money or I just was trying to be a fan, I was just a musician that enjoyed wrestling. I'm here if you need me. I'll give you my services for free. I just want to build my name. I stood outside of wrestling venues in the cold with the other wrestling fans with boxes of CDs in my hand. People remember that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm passing out CDs. I am giving theme songs away for free no matter what brand you are, how big your name is. You can have your first wrestling match. I'm going to do it like I never did it before for anybody else. I'm going to give you my all. And that transferred from Maryland to WXW with the NOIA family and Florida, Mineola, Florida, transferred all over the world to where it is now, to where I've done over 350 of these now in the course of 10 years for tons of wrestlers. There's been repeat customers. They've come back. People have come back. I've made 2-3 songs for different wrestlers. But if you include wrestling and other companies, and other genres of companies beyond wrestling, I'm at 350 now.
That's a good average for people that don't understand work and making music. That's staying busy. So let me ask you this. I know that you've learned in this period to be adaptable, learn to be able to watch, learn to be able to learn. That's a tricky thing for people these days. And I know now you've been able to adapt and kind of go into a spot where you can kind of mentor some people that are coming up in the music industry and kind of provide some of this 10,000-foot view that you've been able to muster over these years. When you're talking to these young cats and people coming up, do you think that it's still feasible for people to do what you did and just enjoy the walk instead of chase the destination? Or are we too much into the world where clout chasing and single barrages is just the name of the game?
I think it's all perspective. I think it's all what you're looking for in this. When I mentor artists, I always tell them, you have to know what is it that you're looking for. You know, you have to learn what is it that you want out of this.
And what are the answers to those questions?
A lot of them are, see, it's almost like, I'm going to give you this thing that I learned about this, being a mentor, because I've kind of been in the other seat now.
Right.
They listen to a point, but then when they figure out they think they have all the answers, then it kind of changes. You know how this music industry is. Once everybody starts getting to a certain point, they start thinking that the game has changed and that things has, they know it all. And now when I mentor without attachment now. I mentor without having any expectations. If you're my peoples, I'm going to give you some advice. And you take it as you will. And I don't have any contracts. I don't hold anybody to nothing. If you take the advice, you take the advice. But I don't hold anybody to nothing. Whatever decisions you make, I'm not taking it personal. My phone's always on if you need me. But I stopped putting my emotional investment in the mentoring. I started just kind of just giving game little nuggets here. Because everybody learns at their own pace. But when people are also at a level when they learn what they need to learn, I fall back. Because sometimes you need to hear a different voice.
True.
You know what I mean? So maybe if you hear from somebody else that's not me, but they're saying the same thing, you'll retain the information better. But that's reading the room and understanding. So it becomes now, you know, I see more younger people are kind of more into the more cloudy more different things, and even some of the older folks too. But I kind of learned not to take it personal.
No.
And I just focus on what I want to do, because everybody's in this for different things. So I want to give a shout out, but I do want to give a shout out because I always give shout outs to my team.
Yeah.
Want to give a shout out to Swerve. Swerve was the first artist. He's a professional wrestler for AEW. He's the first person that I mentored that took all the advice that I gave him and became his own star from it. You know, and he trusted my tutelage, and now he has his own career, music career with what he's doing. We're still a team. We still record together. And I don't, you know, try to, oh, I'm your mentor, you should do this. No, man, do your thing, bro. You know, I'm just glad I could have sparked something that's in his spirit to now where he can do it. Shout out to Rich Lotta, our music producer. Shout out to Anthony King. So, you know, it's all about, you know, understanding your position and knowing when to fall back as well.
So you think there is still a choice to kind of do this a more traditional way if it lines up with your goals? Because if you got some kind of over the moon goal, now it almost seems like the clout chasing is the only thing you can do. That's why I'm curious, you know, how you can approach that with new artists who kind of, you get forced to clout chase almost.
Yeah. You kind of get forced to play the game.
Right.
As they say. And you got to learn how to balance it out. When I'm able to step into rooms, I know when it's time to be entertainment business, networking person, but I also know how to scale it back. And if you can be able to mentor or to be in this industry without giving up your freedom, you won.
Amen to that.
You know, you won. And that's what we're all fighting for. I was talking to Marcel earlier. Shout out to Marcel again. And we were talking earlier, and I heard a great adage like, when you're younger, you're fighting for happiness. You just want to be happy when you're young. You're on that quest for happiness. And then once you get older, you just want peace.
Right.
And you want freedom and peace once you get older. And once you get to that point where you have peace, you're happy with your career, you're happy with who you are, you have your passions, you're happy with what you're doing, and life just becomes very peaceful. And then you're not fighting that happiness, because the happiness comes to the peace. That's what we're fighting. That happiness when you're younger is the peace. But you have to learn how to get there.
Would you say that there were any events or a period of time when you started to be able to recognize you were making that transition from chasing this proverbial happiness to now building the peace?
Yes. It was when I stopped being in competition with myself. And many people say, oh, man, you got to be, you know, at some point you're just being competing with yourself. Nah, because I'm not trying to compete with what I did in 2016 anymore. I'm not trying to one-up everything anymore. I'm good. I'm just letting the universe flow, and I'm just following my passions. I'm meeting good people. I'm trying to get as healthy as I can. I went through some health issues a few years ago, and I'm just learning to live. I'm learning to just let it be. I'm letting the universe take me in the direction instead of me trying to force a direction. And I learned that, you know, over time, whether it's me being a father or me just trying to be a good grandson to my grandmother, a good son to my mom, a good brother to my siblings, it's just, I'm just living. And I finally found out who Antoine is outside of Montese.
Right.
Because Montese, when you look at social media, was great, but Antoine was in shambles.
That happens to a lot of people.
Yeah.
In this world.
Yes.
Because you got to focus so much into that.
Yes. Yes. Like, I was not the greatest relationship person with women. I'm open about it. I was not the greatest relationship person. I had an anger issue sometimes because I didn't know how to vent my emotions. And I was so tunnel vision towards the goal, kind of messed up my health.
I know that life.
And I had to learn to scale back and not to, you know, like, it's funny. I always look at it in the sense of like Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan came in the league. He's dunking on everybody. He's flying, jumping from the free throw line.
Right.
And then he gets older and he realizes his game is changing. So that he adjusts his game to shooting a mid-range shot, being able to get smarter points. That's where I'm at in my stage in my life right now, where I know how to move smarter. I learn how to get my points more efficiently. I don't have to jump out the gym anymore because I don't need to.
Right.
I know how to – I can do the same thing that the 2014 Montese could do, but just smarter.
Right.
And get there quicker. Because I know what the 2014 Montesi don't know. So why am I in competition with myself?
Good point.
Why? I already know I'm going to get there before the finish line before him. Remember that whole cartoon where you see the hare and the tortoise?
Mm-hmm.
And you just, that hare is tortoise and the turtle's just scrolling along. Now I'm that turtle. I'm like, I know I'm going to win this race. He's going to tire himself out.
That's a good point.
You know?
Well, they say you're supposed to row your boat gently down the stream, I guess.
Amen.
So let's, amen. I'm trying to do that too.
Amen, brother.
So I know you're not competing with 2014 Montesi anymore, and good thing, because the tortoise is, I feel a better position to be in than the guy tiring himself out. But what have you noticed that's changed since then? Because you've been involved in a pretty good window here. What's some of the big changes, not necessarily to you, but to the game that you've been playing in, that you've noticed?
Great question. So I've noticed that when you first get into something, in anything, you kind of have the deer in the headlights look about it. And you just want to write down all these goals and do this and do that. Now that I've performed on every major platform in wrestling outside of WrestleMania, now that I've seen it from the spectrum, now that I'm kind of in a throne seat in a way to where I can see the outlook of the game, I know where everything is going.
Right.
I've seen a lot of changes. And these changes are, I've seen that people, you could tell who's in it for the right reasons, who's in it for the wrong reasons, who's in it just because what they think they're going to get out of it.
Right.
Now you can filter. Now you can know. I think the game has now changed because in my lane, more wrestlers are starting to make music. They're starting to be more expressive with music. More wrestlers are starting to be more creative. More wrestlers are starting to get into more media platforms.
What do you think sparked that off?
I think that because the climate of the industry is changing. I think the climate, more, you know, even if you go to your local NFL show or NBA show, more players are starting to have podcasts.
True.
More NFL players starting to be their own media. It's the same thing in wrestling. You know, everybody's starting to have their own thing, and people are starting to be more expressive. So now, in my position, being here for 10 years and being a musician, almost 20, now I was like, okay, now I'm in a position now where I can help others or I can direct others, guide others, and still do my thing. My goal in this was to be the Jay-Z of this. I'm not going to lie and say that I'm not trying to be the man, but I am trying to be the person that does it with giving back.
Right.
And not try to gatekeep everything. You call me for advice, I'm going to give you advice. You call me for anything, you need a song, you need a feature, I'm gonna do it for you. You know, but my goal was to be the top guy so that I can help other artists in the future and be a liaison to them, because in wrestling, they didn't have that hip-hop liaison guy.
Right.
And I wanted to be that. Because once you get to a certain point, you kind of reach a certain point. And you're like, okay, then you're trying to maintain it. So now I'm in the maintaining phase. So like, okay, I can't do all this by myself. I can't be on every single theme song myself. Now you have to give opportunities to other people. You have to start creating your family tree. And I've done that.
So, well, you sort of paved this road in some ways for people to travel behind you. There wasn't much of a road in front of you when you started, correct?
No, I believe I have. And I believe I'm a roadmap to help people see that there's a way to do this. If you want to put in the work and do it the right way, then you can make something out of it. You know, a lot of people say, oh man, you're an inspiration. I get a lot of phone calls and tweets and I'm grateful to everybody, sure. You know? And here's the thing about life is about adaptation.
Yes.
And I've adapted now to being to that point. I didn't like it at first. I'll be honest with you. I didn't like being that guy, oh man, you know, OG, you know, you did this. And I'm like, no, I'm still on the court with y'all.
Yeah.
But now, even though I still am on the court, I know how to just accept my role now. I've been here a decade. Like, at some point, you become the person people look up to. So, if, not saying I'm anybody's hero, but if, you know, they say don't meet your heroes. So, if you happen to do meet me, who's a peer, who did it, I want to make sure that I was respectful and that you say, you know what? TZ was a good dude.
Well, that's how you get the longevity.
Bingo. That's how you get it. That's how you get it, by showing love to people. That's how you last as long, is showing love to people, treating the janitor like you treat the owner.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Shaking hands, give everybody eye contact, show love, and you never know who you're inspiring out here.
So that leads me to my next question. Sure. Who inspired you to have this mentality to be able to make sure that as you're moving forward, you can give back? Were there people that did that for you, or did people gatekeep on you and you said to yourself, when it's my turn, I'm not doing this?
Both. Now let's get candid. Let's get some content here. A lot of times in the industry, in the music industry, I watched. And I started to watch. It's funny because I live life by analogies. I would sit back and say, I'm watching these documentaries. Now, it's funny. I'm going to tie this back to your point. I'm watching all these documentaries, crime documentaries. Mm-hmm. They lived this lavish life for like 5 years. These drug dealers are living life. They got all the girls. They have the lavish cars. Everyone falls. They get arrested or they die. Same thing with criminals. They end up getting caught. Same thing with the music industry. I started seeing people do dirt by people, and they always got exposed.
Right.
And the what don't come out in the wash is going to come out in the rinse. And I started watching people for years doing this. And I started dealing with bad music business experiences. Before I was knowledgeable to the game and how rights work and splits and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, if I ever am in a position like this, I'm not going to do this to people. I'm not going to do it because I'm a firm believer. I live by karma. I live by it. I try to be a good dude to people, and I let the universe just come and give me my blessings back. And I always learned one thing in this industry to tie into your question is you have to be willing to be, in order to be successful, sometimes you got to sacrifice some of your shine. Mm. And people aren't willing to do that.
I was going
to
say, that's really unpopular right now.
That's really unpopular, but that's how you get longevity. And that's what I learned about this industry is you have to learn how to pass the ball to others. But to remain successful, you have to learn that sometimes the shine ain't going to be on you. Sometimes I have to grab rebounds in my situation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have to pass the ball. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to get my 25. But this game, we might need you to get rebounds. We might need you to play defense and lock down the other guy who's the best scorer. Can you do that? Sure. I'll do it. Because I want to win. And winning, your roles are going to require to change. I look at it as pro athletes. At some point, pro athletes get older. Mm-hmm. Their roles start to change. They've been an all-star 15 years. But you have to draft a new person. You have to draft new people on your team to keep you maintaining the winning. And that's what I learned about the industry, is that I wasn't going to sit here and do people like this the wrong way. I got done wrong, so I made sure if I was in position, I always, if you're cool, I'm always going to answer your phone call and give you advice. I'm always going to be that person because a lot of people don't have that person.
Right.
And a lot of people start gatekeeping. They want to keep it. When you realize that you could be more successful by giving.
It's a hard concept for some people to wrap their heads around.
They don't get it because, you know, and social media don't help it. You start
seeing right.
Other people start getting certain blessings and stuff happening their way, and then you start feeling like you deserve it because you opened a door for them and you did this and you feel like you need a piece of what God has for them.
It's like, right.
Nah. It's like, nah, man. No. I'm going to get my blessings. And maybe my blessings is that I get to add a few more years to my life and live. Maybe my blessings is my health gets better. Maybe my blessing is not financial. Maybe it's not fiscal. Maybe my blessing is I get to come home safe every night and I'm not in no violent situation.
And there's no social media post to flex on that.
Absolutely. There's no social media post to flex on that. Maybe my blessings is my grandmother lives to 100 years old. Because I did it the right way. So God extends her life on earth. That's how I look at things. So that's why I treat people the right way and do the right thing. Because my blessing is going to come in different ways. If you pass the ball, it's always going to work out for you in the end because it's all unselfish. Everybody's like, oh, what are top people doing this? Well, if you notice how Hollywood is going, whether it's gatekeeping or whatever, everybody's collaborating.
Right. Yeah, there's a huge culture of that now.
Right. Everybody's for sure. Collaborating. There's no hierarchy or I'm this and you're that. Everybody's working together. And, you know, like the analogy I thought of, and I always tell people this on every interview I do, is the Toy Story effect. It's a Toy Story effect. Everybody wants to be Buzz Lightyear. Everybody wants to be the new toy. You watch the first Toy Story movie is my biggest analogy on life. Hmm. When Woody got out, Woody was jealous as hell of Buzz Lightyear.
Right.
Buzz was flying.
He had lights.
To infinity and beyond. You press the button, the wings come out.
Yeah.
And everything was great. Woody's like, I've been here. I'm not the man no more. I'm jealous of Buzz Lightyear. But lo and behold, he understood his position. Him and Buzz become best friends. Then in Toy Story 2, Buzz got just as much adversity as Woody. It doesn't change. You know, it doesn't change. And that's the thing about life.
That's a really poignant way to put it, but that's so true.
Yeah. And that's how life is. Eventually, we all become Woody. So I'm in my Woody stage of my career. There's a lot of Buzz Lightyears that come. And I show them all love. But there's only one. There's only been a few that's lasted.
And maybe you can teach him what to do with those pop-out wings and we can be guys. This is the goal.
That's the goal. The goal is to be Woody. That's the goal. The goal is to be here.
Yeah, right. Pull string still working.
Yeah, string's still working. I got a snake in my boots. Yep.
Yep.
it's still working. I'm still here.
So speaking of figurative snake in your boot, I know you got a literal snake in the boot and that you got an album you're working on. You're Woody, but you're not done making music.
No. See, the thing about it, man, I gave so much to wrestling music. See, here's the thing. People see the content I put out wrestling-wise. I can crank them out. Like McDonald's burgers.
Right.
I can crank them out. But when it comes to my own music, I'm kind of like Kendrick Lamar. You might get one every 2 years as far as a full press album because I have to live a little bit.
Right, yeah.
So what I'm doing, my album Erica's Son 2 will be out independently June 23rd of this year. I'm selling on event.biz, which is a website where people sell their content, their albums. And you buy it independently. It'll be on streaming platforms later. But I wanted to sell this independently. So if you go to even.biz/ES2, people can buy the album from me.
Yeah, we'll definitely have link.
Absolutely. They'll be able to buy buy different packages. So like, hey, $20, you get to is pay what you want. But $20, you can get the album. $50, you get the album and a personalized video shout out. And $100 for limited people. You get the video shout out, the album, and you get a personal phone call from me.
Very cool.
So, but it's to limited people who pay those. So that's the thing. You don't have to pay $20. You could pay more for the album if you want. But I wanted to do it independently to have a good relationship with the people, for people to buy the album, for people to show love to the album. This album has Twista.
Oh, very on there. Cool.
Shout out to the legend Twista, who hit me with a great hook on the project. Shout out to my brother John Connor, who is one of the most phenomenal lyricists in the world. Shout out to my brother Swerve the Realist, who's a pro wrestler for AEW. He's on the project. My bro Anthony King. So, yeah, man, we really put a lot into this album. I have a lot of great collaborations on this project. This project has been worked on for 3 years.
Nice.
And I'm finally ready to put it out.
Very cool.
Finally just wrapped everything up. And it's ready to come out. I'm going to have my album release party. You guys are more invited to come.
Oh, man, I'm there.
It's in Orlando, so you guys are more welcome to come. Invite to you guys is going to be like an intimate setting, like 45 people, 50 people. But you guys are more welcome to come. And be performing the songs from the album. Have some of me and my guys perform some of our classic hits together.
Very cool.
So yeah, man, it is. I'm happy to be able to do this independently, give the people the project that I want to be able to finally give it to the people, and then it'll be on streaming platforms later. But it's just about making sure I have a direct relationship with the audience for this album.
That's very cool. It's a little bit Wild West right now, how to release things the quote-unquote right way. So are you going to not do any streaming singles first or at all? Are you going to go just straight direct first via you? Or are you going to try to promote it with like singles on Spotify or whatever first?
So my goal, some of the singles are already out right now.
Okay.
Like shout out to The Hustle, known as Music Soul Child, but he has his alter ego, The Hustle.
Okay.
Shout out to The Hustle. We have a song out called Pressure. That song's out on platforms. So there's singles.
And that's going to be on the record?
Yeah, that's going to be on the album.
Okay,
so
cool.
I'm giving you singles.
Okay,
I'm giving you singles, but the album is going to have a lot of songs on there.
Right, right.
So you have to get the experience, you have to buy the album. So there's going to be...
So you're kind of doing a hybrid.
Yes, yes. You're still going to get the singles that you can get on all your Spotify and streaming platforms. But the whole concept, if you want to get the whole album on my birthday, June 23rd, on my 36th birthday, you have to get the whole album to get the experience. The song with Twista comes out on the 22nd of March. So that single will be out. But if you want to get the whole album, that'll come out in June. So Twista song and maybe one more will be out before the album. But you already have like five singles from the album.
Right.
By the time the album comes out, five singles have already been out from the course of these 2-3 years. So it all will culminate to this project on June 23rd.
So that's cool. Then you're not really kind of being pigeonholed by the, you got to do all your singles and just do it all digitally. You're sort of making a hybrid there. That's a really cool
tactic. Yeah, I'm not trying to go by, oh man, you know, just do 85 singles and lead to the album. I'm giving you a hybrid of both. I'm giving you content. You can go to your streaming platforms and get the singles, and then it leads up to the album. The album's only going to be independent for a period of time.
Right.
And then later, maybe July, August, I'll put the album out on streaming platforms. And I'll just start shooting my video content from the album for all social media. I'll have my roll call of songs and TikToks and all that for the videos and stuff like that. But I want you to get the experience of the album and just go direct to consumer for it.
That's very cool. I'm very curious to hear how that works out for you, because some of the people we've talked to, you know, and I got no other way to put it. I feel bad about it. They feel like they don't have any other way but to just put out a whole bunch of singles and then put out your record with only three more songs on it. And you just got to give away the whole movie before it's even opening night. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's just, man, you just have to have a relationship with people. And people, you know, it's hard for us as artists, man, because I understand what they're doing. They're not wrong with what they're doing.
No.
Because they're going the way that it's structured. You know right. what I mean? You put out a bunch of singles, and then you might put three extra songs on there, and then you do the deluxe edition with extra songs. But it grows tiresome a lot of times.
Right.
You know, you want to be able to say, look, I gave you five singles. If you want the other 12 songs, just support me. Just pay what you want. The minimum you have to pay is $20. You get the whole album. And then if you want to stream it later to show love when it goes on streaming, here you go. But it's just something that, you know, I'm willing to cash in on my relationships. A lot of the pro wrestlers I made songs for are going to be there. A lot of big name wrestlers are going to be there. My brother Swerve is going to perform with me, AEW wrestler. So it's just, you know, cashing in on that and saying, hey guys, I have this project. If you have $20, support me.
I was going to say, that's how you can support.
Just a, you know, one-time thing of $20, download the album. You have it in your files. And then when it's on streaming platforms, if you want to support again, you can. But you will be able to have access to it in your phone as well for the massive audience.
I think that's a smart choice. Like I said, I'm really curious to see how that works out. That's a smart choice, I think.
Absolutely, man. I'm willing to invest in the people who have invested in me, and I'm going to invest in the people.
Smart. I think that kind of reeks of that. I think that's a good way of saying it without having to say it,
absolutely,
so to speak.
Absolutely.
So I know you mentioned Swerve. He's a big part of your world. He's co-hosts your podcast with you, correct?
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit about how he comes into your world and how you develop your relationship with him and you get your podcast going.
Well, Swerve is my blood brother. That's my best friend. That is literally, my grandmother calls him my grandson. That is my brother. He is one of the most talented people I've ever met in my life, you know, not only as a pro wrestler, but that man looked out for me in many ways outside of business. When I was in the hospital, he's one of the people that visited me.
Nice.
That I was in touch with. There was a few people I was in touch with, my family, Marcel, and him. They all either spoke to me, called me, or came to visit me. And that loyalty will always remain there. But he's one of the most talented people that I know. We've been in business together for 6-7 years now doing the Swerve City podcast. And we've learned a lot from each other. You know, it's a barter system with us.
Hmm.
We you know, it's like anything. If you learn the ancient art of civilization, if you have gold and I have food and we're both colonies, we have alliances together. And if you need to trade, hey, man, I need some gold from you. Gotcha. You need some food? We're going to send some food your way. That's how we've been this whole time,
hmm.
working together. And he's at a huge level, working with Rick Ross, doing things with Kevin Gates, on having them on AEW television, and he's never changed. He always is loyal to his team. He's loyal to me. And no matter what musically I have going on myself, I'm always loyal to him.
So when you start this, and I don't mean to cut you off, but when I think this is an important point for building relationships. When you start this and you find that you're going to be able to trust him like this and you're going to be able to be an equal opportunity learning situation, is this something that you speak of? Or is this something that is unspoken between you that you just keep developing and now 7 years later, this is what it is? Do you have these conversations or does it go unspoken and you just develop it?
The latter. Because at first, it was about the work. He invited me to do a podcast. I didn't know him very well, but he gave me an opportunity.
Mm.
And I said, I will remain loyal to you because you gave me an opportunity. Excuse me. I will remain loyal to you because you gave me an opportunity. And the way I pay it back is with loyalty. I'm not going to charge you a dime for anything. You know, you gave me the platform. You're introducing me to wrestlers that I can network with for possibly something in the future.
Right.
You're giving me a network.
Yeah.
So, and the way that barter system worked is, okay, you're giving me this platform to come on a podcast to meet people, to interview some dream people that people would kill to sit down and talk to. So if you're going to do music, I don't want anything from you in music. Mm. I'm not charging you for nothing. You want to learn? You want to get in the studio? We're going to do this. The same way you invested in me with the podcast, I invested in him with the music.
Ah.
Now, when we have conversations, we both know what this is. This is about winning. If he's the tall, 6-foot dude that wrestles, got the muscle, got the ladies, and he's in the car, if he's the Method Man of Wu-Tang, then I'm going to invest in Method Man.
Right.
I'll be RZA. I'll be the one in the back putting the things together in Wu-Tang, but he's the star. So I'm going to invest in the star because he got the door open. He's getting doors open that I might not be able to because of access and who he is.
Right.
So you invest in that. And you build on that as a team. And then me, with my certain music knowledge, people that I know in relationship, there are certain music things that I can do that he can invest in with me.
And this was all unspoken and could stay that way because you had the understanding between the two of you that this was just about winning. And if you can help me win, I can help you win. And then we win at the same time.
Exactly. That's all this has been for 7 years. And then, of course, we grew up brotherhood. And it's more of a personal level. We around each other's kids or family.
Right.
You know what I mean? I always tell them I love them after every phone conversation because we grew as brothers. It was an organic thing. It wasn't like, oh, clout thing. Oh, this is my dog. This is my brother. And I barely know this dude.
Yeah, right.
Not the industry thing. Nah.
That's kind of where I'm driving out with these questions. Did you have to framework this thing out like people do sometimes? Or were you able to grow?
We started at work, but we grew. We grew as friends. It wasn't forced. It took some time because he was just about doing the work. I was about doing the work, but then I got to know him as a man. You know what I mean? I got to know him as a man. He got to know Antoine. So it developed and organically grew over that time. It was not something that really needed to be said. You know what I mean? Once he started knowing he could trust me, then he needs me for something, I'm going to get it done. Certain things, he don't even have to say it no more. I'm getting it done.
Right.
Same thing with him and my end. We just work together in unison, and I'm proud of him of where he's at, and he's proud of me of where I'm at. He's opened the door. That man changed my life, and I changed his life, but we don't need to throw that in each other's face.
No.
You know what I mean?
Right.
What is this for? You know, is this for to say that I did this for you or that, or is it about the victory?
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I want to win. I want to win championships every year. Amen. I want to be in the NBA Finals every year.
Amen.
And whether I'm scoring or playing defense or grabbing rebounds, I want to win. And sometimes winning, you have to let your ego go out the door, and you do what's necessary to win.
So I was going to ask you something else, but that got me. Who were some of your inspirations for that? How did you start to be able to adopt that mentality and then put it into practice?
Well, shout out to my mentor, Charmelo Durant. He passed away. Busta Rhymes produced Put Your Hands on Eyes, Conceive of Busta Rhymes.
Oh,
that's his beat.
Love it.
He produced for PD Pablo, Bell Biv DeVoe, you name it.
Damn.
Everybody. he was my mentor.
And from the beginning?
From the very beginning. Him and my granddad and my grandma. I'm going to give you the three things that I learned from the three of those. Those are really the nucleus.
Okay.
From Charmello, I learned the industry. I learned the music industry. He was always hard on me. I'd be on the phone rapping my heart out to him, freestyling. I'm 16, 17 years old. He'd be like, that's not good enough, bro.
Oh, man.
But he taught me how to take rejection. That's why he did it.
Mm.
He would say he never liked anything I wrote, anything I did. And at first, I would take it personal. The more older I got, the less I stopped taking it personal. Then one day he said, the reason why I would coach you so hard is because I want you to learn how to take rejection and not take it personal.
Mm.
I wanted you to instinctively understand how to deal with rejection in this industry and just move on from it. Still believe in yourself, but not take it personal that somebody didn't see. He's like, I always thought you were talented. I just had to teach you how to hear no and not give up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he was coaching me to the hard parts of the industry.
I was going to say, because in the entertainment industry, that's a thing that takes a lot of people out.
Right. They hear no, and then so he gave me the right tutelage. So now when I hear it, I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'm going to find another way through the door.
Mm.
Rather the back door, I'm going to take the security cameras out and go through the side door. But I'm going to get there. It's just the front door is not available, and that's fine. My granddad was the person who introduced me to Charmello. My granddad was my biggest inspiration, and God bless his soul. He found out at 15 I wanted to do music. He dropped everything he could to help me. He bought me a guitar. I never played it, and I'm going to pick up lessons, granddad. I'm going to pick it
I'll
up.
I'll teach you. There you go.
Done. He bought me a guitar. He introduced me. So let me tell you a story. One day, I'm at a pizza shop. It's me and him. Flavor Flav walks in. And he's with his bodyguard and this young lady he was dating at the time. So they're at the buffet picking pizza. My granddad's like, there's Flavor Flav. You want to go talk to him? I'm nervous.
You're serious?
I'm like, no, I don't want to. He's like, I'm going to go introduce you to him. He gets up. He goes and talks to him. He's like, oh, you know, my grandson. That's my grandson. He's a rapper. Flavor Flav was cool. He shook my hand. Hey, how you doing, man? You know, he told him that I rap and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said hello. And Flavor Flav went about his business. But he's very polite. That was my first celebrity that I ever met. And Flavor Flav was really cool. I hope to tell him the story someday. But he was very cool, very nice. The security was cool. And then we went back and had pizza. My granddad said, I did that. So I wanted you to understand, never be afraid to speak to somebody.
Mm.
No matter what status they are, never be afraid to go and cold approach somebody because you never know. He's like, that's the only reason why I did that. And I was 15 years old and I never forgot it.
Yeah, because that's an intimidating thing for people.
Right. So a lot of the tutelage that I got from Charmello was to hear no and not take it personal. My granddad taught me how to just approach anybody and be able to talk to anybody. And my grandmother, who's still here, is my best friend. She taught me about a support system. Without her, I wouldn't be here. She invested money in this. She never held it back. She supports me in everything that I do. So it's good to have that family system that is investing in you. So I learned from her, how to invest in family. Because she's like, if you make it, we all make it.
Ah.
If I invest in you and you end up becoming that person, we all win. So that's where that mentality, to answer your question, comes from, is I learned those three things. I learned rejection, I learned how to communicate with people, and I learned a support system. So those three things adapt the whole mindset I have now in all this.
And that, I was going to say, these are valuable principles regardless of whether or not you want to be making music or you want to be hosting a podcast.
Amen. Amen. And that's what, to tie back to your point, that's what worked with me and Swerve's podcast, Swerve City Podcast. That's what works with my podcast, Teezy's Table. That's what works with my music career. That works with me being a father. It's just understanding. And the one thing that I go to sleep by is self-awareness. If you're self-aware, you're never going to lose. because that's what the whole adaptation to winning thing I'm talking about.
Does your self-awareness give you the ability to channel into the self-discipline that you have? Are you able to be honest with yourself and say, yo, I got to do this at level 10 and I'm only at level 7 right now? What does the self-awareness do for you when you're talking about actualizing your goals?
Yes, it's being honest with yourself. You're absolutely correct. It's being honest. It's saying, look, right now I'm at a 6. I really need to, this situation I could do at 10 today. Tomorrow, I could do this at 10. It's being able to space it out without overworking yourself, without mentally putting yourself in a situation where you're on overdrive, and it's saying, okay, I need to be at 7 or 8 for this today. I could do this at an absolute 10 today.
Right.
Tomorrow, okay, I'm going to space out, and then I'm going to go back and do this at a 10 tomorrow. I remember I was watching an Instagram clip that said Eminem treats this like work when he's recording. He goes in the studio at 9, he leaves at 5. Once he leaves at 5, he's not doing anything music related. He's Marshall. I do the same thing now. I work to a certain period. I work really hard for a period of time. Then I chill. I just turn it off and become Antoine. When my kids come and I spend time with my kids, I don't go anywhere. I don't take any bookings when I'm with my kids. I don't do anything like that. I'm Antoine. I'm dad. You know what I mean? I shut everything out. The kids be like, oh, my dad, because I get him every other weekend. Oh, my dad's always working. My dad took me here. Nope. Dad's in the house. Dad's playing video games. Dad's playing with his daughter. Dad's taking his kids to eat. And I'm all about my kids for the time that I get them. So that's how I learned. That's how I learned to balance.
That's what I was just going to ask you. How did you learn to create that balance? Because having as many hats as you do and demanding as the things that you are, it's easy to get overwhelmed. It's easy to lose sight of your family. That's usually the first thing that people, unfortunately, have to compromise.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to compromise time. That's the thing. With self-awareness is understanding time.
Mm.
And if you're self-aware, you'll never take time for granted. I'm self-aware to understanding that, okay, I get limited time with my children, but when I'm with them, I'm going to spend as much time with them as I can. When I'm in the studio, I work better if I have a whole bunch of songs I have to do in a 2-hour session and knock them out than trying to go in there and do one song for 2 hours.
Right.
Let me use time management. Let me write all my songs before I go to the studio. Let me find my self-awareness on what works best for Antoine and Montese, respectively. Let me find out what works best for me. And understanding that this system that I have works for me. It's not going to work for everybody else.
Right.
But for me, this is what works for me to be successful and balance it out. I finally now, at 36 years old, know who Antoine is. So now I can balance the Montese brand with me and Antoine. I know when to completely shut it off. And that's where that balance comes. It took a long time to learn.
You're right.
But I finally learned it over time and understood who I was as a man and being able to balance all of this out. It is a man of many hats, but if you use time management with the discipline you were talking about earlier and being disciplined to your time management, you'll be fine.
Well, part of it is just recognizing the value of time in the first place, which is difficult to do when you're younger and difficult to do with stars in your eyes, regardless of what your age is. But how do you get to the point where all of this starts to be the total package now? You know what I mean? Where you're doing the wrestling, the podcasting, you've got the balance of the family. I know you mentioned your health in there, and this is the reason why I want to ask this. It hits a little bit close to home. How much did your health issues help bring all of these things together and make it so you could prioritize things from just your time on earth and then on down?
Amen. I understood that I was mortal. When you're young, you think you're going to be doing this stuff forever and you're going to be in the same health forever, the same things. You don't know when something's going to change your life.
Right.
So I have a condition called COPD, which is chronic lung disease.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't come from smoking. It just came from high blood pressure. So what it taught me when I was in the hospital was I got to take this a day at a time.
Right.
I don't have to try to jump through the gym like I always tried to do before. Now I can pick my spots and still be as successful by simply just understanding life. I'm grateful every day I wake up now, bro.
Amen to that.
I'm grateful. God wakes me up, I say, I'm alive. It's a beautiful feeling.
Yes. Here. Yes, sir.
I'm not having dirt dug on me. So, or having my ashes cremated right now. So I'm here. How can I make an impact? How can I be a good person? What can I do to help somebody else out? Because we're here to serve, but people don't look at the world that way. Mm. We're here to help each other. So how can I be of, how can I be of service to somebody else? How can I be of service to my family, service to my kids? And what can I pour into Antoine to be able to be successful? You know what I mean?
Because that's what makes a successful Montese.
Yes, that's what makes a successful Montese, is being a successful Antoine. And, you know.
And some people get that reversed.
Right. You know this, and Marcel knows this. And I'm not, I'm saying this in a way of, because we all understand this. Life hits you different when you're in the hospital bed. And you have nothing but wires connected to you and people
facts.
Feeding you, and you get three meals a day and you feel like you're in solitary confinement.
Facts.
But you can't just get up and walk out, and it gives you perspective. So every time I walked out of the doctor's office, I said, I'm grateful to be here. You know what I mean?
I do.
I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to have a great spirit about myself. And the more you realize that the world don't owe you nothing, but you owe it to yourself, things get easier. You know what I mean? You're just happy. You just owe it to yourself, man. Be a good dude to people, good or girl. Be a good person to people. Take care of each other. And, you know, plant the seeds for the future generations, but for yourself. And just enjoy life, man. I'm living now more, man. I'm going to more concerts. I'm about to go to a Dave Matthews concert.
Yes.
I'm about to go see Red Hot Chili Peppers 2 days before my birthday.
Oh, hell yes.
I'm about to go see a bunch of concerts. My New Year's resolution was just to go more concerts, listen to music, and enjoy myself. I'm taking my mom to the Dave Matthews show.
Very cool.
She put me on the Dave Matthews band and Red Hot Chili Peppers. So we're going to those shows. Mother-son time, spending time together.
Those are
going to
be great shows.
Absolutely, man. And I'm just going to go, and I'm just enjoying myself, man. I'm living now, man. I'm in such peace with my life. I'm in a good spot.
Well, mad respect to that, man. This is the way. If I steal a Mandalorian line, this is the way.
Amen, man. Amen.
So that's some real heaviness. Let's get you out of here on something fun. Normally, I've only got one fun question, but I got two for you. You can pick one.
Sure.
If you could either set up a dream wrestling match, I don't care, two wrestlers of any timeline, alive or dead, any way you want, or you could make a theme song for anybody, alive or dead, which one you want, who's it going to be?
It's the hardest question I've had in years.
So it's supposed to be the fun one.
Oh, man, this is a good one. A theme song for somebody that's gone, or a dream wrestling match, and I have to choose one.
Yep, either one.
I would have liked to see a triple threat wrestling match with my hero Bret Hart, Kurt Angle, and Shawn Michaels.
Oh, man.
I would have liked to see a triple threat match with them three at WrestleMania.
Like circa 92, 93? No, Kurt Angle was a little after that, right?
05, 06. Okay. Bret's like late 90s. Shawn Michaels was late 90s. Like in the middle, maybe 2000, 2001 time, I would have liked to see that match. So I'll go with the match.
Hell yeah. Good answer. Well, Montese, Antoine, all of the above. I'm so grateful for you coming down, man. Thank you for sharing some of your journey and some of your insights with people, man. It's unbelievably value, and I can't wait to do this again sometime, man.
Peace, King.
Thank you, brother. Man. Thank you, man.
Thank you, bro.